Once again, welcome to all who have come tonight. And I did mention earlier on a group we have, but we plan to have a sing and a get-together at Arrows after the meeting for anyone who may be available to come. You're all welcome. And also, the announcements for this week. Tomorrow night, we have a youth group at 6:30 for those that are 12 and up, or grade 7, I guess. And then Thursday night is our prayer meeting, Bible study. We're in James chapter 2 and verse 1. And then we have, of course, our regular Lord's Supper on Sunday at 10. So let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and that he has made it possible that we can speak to you. And sometimes we forget when we pray that we're speaking right into heaven. And I think of what Paul says there in Acts 26, having obtained help of God. And we remind ourselves right now that for souls to be saved, it's not just human effort, but it's through the Holy Spirit and through the power of God. So we ask for help tonight as we speak from your word and tell what it contains and about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved. We pray for each one here that's listening, that they would consider the message and how serious and urgent it is. So ask for a blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read first in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs is read about the middle of the Bible. It's after Psalms and before Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And I read this because this is what I was saved through. In the hymn there, it says in the last verse, trust him with all thine heart. And here it is in the Bible. I forgot it was in the Bible that night, but I believed it anyway, and I was saved. But here, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that first part again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, all your heart. Come over with me to Matthew chapter 24. And we'll read at verse 40, from verse 40 to 42. Matthew is in the New Testament. It's the first gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew chapter 24. And verse 40. This is about the Lord's coming. And about how human beings will be separated at the Lord's coming. Matthew 24 verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And maybe we will read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And if you don't have a Bible, it is up on the wall to my left. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. It's near the end of her Bible. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, if you open your Bible in Acts chapter 26, and I'll just point out a few things here, and then I'll tell my story. Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It's a lot about Paul and Peter and different preachers preaching and seeing assemblies planted. And it says in verse 2, Acts 26, verse 2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day. So I, like Paul, I'm happy to be able to speak and to tell my story. Then in verse 3, at the end of the verse, it says, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. So, like Paul, I would say, try to listen closely, and I beseech thee to hear me patiently. If you get bored, I'll try to keep listening, and you might learn something. Then verse 4, he says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first, among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning. And here he's saying that some of the people that he's talking to in that town, they knew his background. They knew how he was brought up. And I can say that about many of the older people here. You know I was brought up in this area, and you know how I was brought up. And he says in verse 9, Acts 26, verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I want to point out here that this was Paul sharing his inner thoughts. And, when people looked at me, when people look at me now, you don't see the wickedness that's in my heart. But I can tell you, in the deepest thoughts of my heart, there's much wickedness. And Paul, he exposes the wickedness, how he was a religious, very religious man, but he had murder in his heart. And it wouldn't matter where you went, what country, wouldn't matter which religion you went to, which person, doesn't matter how religious they are, how devout they are, they all have the same heart. Paul proved that. Others have proved that. Then he talks about, in verse 12, verse 12, actually, you could say verse 12 to 15 is conversion. He saw the light. In verse 13, that reminds me of myself. My heart was enlightened by God's truth. And then verse 14, I heard a voice. And I can say the same thing. I did hear the voice of God. And then the Lord gives him a commission. Gives them a mission. And you know, if you were to trust Christ and be saved, God has a special work for each one of you. And you would find purpose in that. And then verse 19, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He believed and he obeyed God when he heard God speak to him. So, my conversion. I was born in a Christian home. My parents are sitting over here, Andrew and Pam, and they brought me up to believe the Bible and to know the Bible. And they made it clear to us that no, you're not. You don't grow up in a Christian home and automatically become a Christian. You need to be saved. You need to have a personal encounter, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have a moment in your life when you're saved. And I, from the youngest, I always wanted to be saved, because I looked around and people I knew that were saved, and I knew it was real. And those people were happy. My grandparents, my parents, some of the people that came to this assembly, it met out in the Gospel Hall in Springfield. I always wanted to be saved. And one of the things that bothered me when I was young, I read about it was the rapture of the saints. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air and he raptures people away. So we read about two people working together in the field, and all of a sudden one's taken and the other's left. And two people are working together in a mill, in a factory. All of a sudden one's taken and the other's left. And it says in another place in the Gospels, two people are in bed, maybe a husband and wife. It says one's taken and the other's left. That's what happens at the rapture. Now, when you think about me, I wasn't saved in a home with my parents. Of course, I knew my parents were saved. I thought any moment my parents could just be taken away, raptured away, and we would be left. And that scared us. Many people that know that to be true, it scares you. And it is true. It's taught in the Bible very clearly. That scared me. But something else that scared me was, of course, going to hell. And it is a serious thing to think about dying in your sins and going to hell. And the Bible is clear. We were talking this morning that, of course, babies, if they die, they don't go to hell. God will see to it that they'll be taken to heaven before they've reached a point where they're able to make a decision for themselves. And you know, as a child grows up and he starts understanding sin and he has an opportunity to be saved and he rejects it, you know, I could have went to hell if I would have died. Because I knew I needed to be saved, but it wasn't for me right then. Yeah, we also were talking this morning about false professors. One time I told my parents, I said, I got saved. And I don't know why I told them that. And I thought I got saved different times. And they said, well, how did that happen? And then I said, well, I got saved from a porcupine. I don't know if they remember that or not. But I'd never even seen a porcupine before, but I had to come up with something quick so they wouldn't ask me any more questions. And then when I was 12, I thought I had gotten saved. I didn't really tell too many people. It was just kind of an experience I had in my room. And I remember my grandmother asked me if I was saved. And I said, yeah, I'm saved. She said, well, how were you saved? And somehow I got away. And I didn't have to answer a question. I ran away. So, you know, a person that truly is saved, when you ask them how they were saved, they're more than happy to tell you. But, you know, I didn't really have it, so I didn't know what to say. So that's when I was 12. I did try reading the Bible after that and tried praying. And I did read through the whole Bible when I was 12, 13. But I did find that there's something missing. Anyway, by the time I was 16 or 17, remember,
I'm still not saved. I'm still going down this broad way. It talks about in Matthew 7 and 13. I'm going down to hell and the lake of fire. And I'm not sure if any other Christians' children would understand when I say this, but I started to wonder, is there really a God? And I used to sit there in the prayer meeting, and I wondered, you know, is there anyone listening to my dad when he's praying? And probably David was praying, I guess, and Daryl and some of the others. And I wondered, is there a God that's listening, or are they just talking to the ceiling? And, of course, I wasn't that concerned, was I? I just thought, well, maybe there's no God, and I'll enjoy life, you know. And I know when I was young, my time is going quick here, but anyway, I'll try to get finished up so David can preach. But I remember people used to talk about the bright lights of the world attracted them. Well, I don't know what bright lights, like cities or what, but anyway, that kind of thing attracted me too. So there was something in the world that I was missing out on. Something that drew me. And maybe I would enjoy life in the world, not being saved and not going to a church or an assembly where the gospel is preached. So from the time I was 16 till 19, I just, whatever. You know what? One thing I can say, I never, ever argued with my parents about coming to a meeting. Ever. And I'm sure they were glad of that. And I'm glad too. I had this feeling in my heart that if I fought against going to a gospel meeting, I'd be fighting against God, and I wasn't prepared to do that. But that didn't save me. I was a sinner, and I knew it. I was a rotten sinner. Then when I was 19, remember we talked about Paul hearing the voice. Well, when I was 19, I was going to work with my boss, and I remember the moment when a voice spoke to me. Of course, my boss that was in the truck, he didn't hear it, but I heard it. Timmy, you're a sinner, and you're on the way to hell. You deserve to be in hell. And I thought, oh, wow, that's true. And that was God speaking to me. You know, God speaks in dreams, and God speaks other ways. God speaks to us in the back of our mind or the depths of our heart. We have to test when we hear something like that. Because it might not be God speaking, but I knew that's what the Bible says. That agrees totally with what the Bible says. That's true. And from that point on, I said, I need to be saved. I wonder if there's anyone here that has ever come to that point in your life when you realize, I need this. If I'm ever going to be in heaven, if I'm ever going to escape the judgment that comes upon a sinner, I need this. You know, and I'm not sure when I made up my mind that I needed it, but I knew that I wanted to be saved. So that was October, I believe, 2019, sometime in October. So I went to some meetings, gospel meetings at the hall and some in Rosebank, and I wanted to be saved. And there was quite a preacher preaching in Freetown. I was going to say that was David. That was David, but in Albert Hall too. They were preaching in Freetown, and I went there. That was June 2010. Took my own car. And then David and Larry Biot preached in Springfield in sometime in October into November. I'm not sure when they started. That's the reason why I'm telling my testimony. I was saved on November the 28th, and today is the 24th, I think. So I started going to those meetings. So it was from the time that the Lord spoke to me, Timmy, you're a sinner, you deserve to be in hell, it was more than a year. And I started, in those meetings where David was preaching and Larry Biot, I used to go home and I wanted to be saved. And I'd go to my room and say, Lord, how can I be saved? And I'd read verses in the Bible. You know, some of the verses like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And like the one in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And yeah, the Bible says that, and it says Jesus Christ can save sinners, but how can I be saved? And, of course, being brought up in a Christian home, you know, I have to believe, but I've tried to believe 100 times, 1,000 times, and I'm not saved, you know. Well, God's not telling a lie, so obviously I never believed him. But just that one night, it was a Sunday night, it was November the 28th in 2010, they preached, and then they gave out that hymn. Out of Christ without a Savior, trust him with all your heart. Ere the door of mercy closes and you hear his word depart. And when they sang, trust him with all thine heart, I said, you know what? I just have to trust him. And I will trust him. And you know what? I did have peace and joy at that moment. But I didn't know I was saved. So a few days later, I was in the car and I was singing. I was in the car by myself and I said, I never sing, you know. And sometimes now I don't sing. I'm not always very happy. But I said, you know what? I know that I get saved on Sunday night when I trusted him. And like Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says, I'm still the chief of sinners. And I can say that. I'm still the chief of sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And it says in the Bible, Psalm 32, happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. A person, even though I'm a guilty sinner and I do deserve to be in hell. And I was thinking about that today. It's great not to be going to hell, but to be going to heaven. But even though I'm still a sinner, and I still commit sins, and we will. So, you know, some people say, oh, Christians, they're no different than the rest of us. Well, they are. They're different than the rest of the world, but we're not perfect. But our sins are forgiven. But then, when Paul comes to the end of this chapter, just look at Acts 26, verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. He's speaking to a man. He's trying to persuade him to become a Christian. He says, I told you all the facts. My conversion, he said, it's real. He said, I heard a voice. I saw the light. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed in him. You know, I trusted in the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus was the one who died in my place. That's what I was trusting. And Paul says, I want you to believe him too. He said, I know you believe the Bible. Now, I'm speaking to people here tonight. And I know that you believe the Bible. But you're not saved. You know that the Bible is true. But that's not what it means to be saved. Being saved is the moment you accept that what the Bible says about me is true. I'm a lost sinner. I can do nothing to save myself. I'm on my way to hell. If the Lord comes, I'm not going. I'll be left behind. But what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus is also true, that he died to take away my sins and he can save me. And to put all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, not trusting in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Paul says, Agrippa, I know that you believe. He says, but will you take a step and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And Agrippa says, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I don't want that to be you tonight. Don't say almost. I know in a gospel meeting we can be persuaded emotionally. You know, when you go out that door tonight, don't go out not saved and on the way to hell. Go out trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and on the way to heaven. Thank you for listening.